We are in the kitchen at Room 39 with their executive chefs and owners, Andrew Sloan and Ted Habiger. We have just prepared the veal sweetbreads, and we've begun preparation with the truffle bread pudding. So we have the pudding mixture together with the truffles in them, and you put them on the cooktop. What are we trying to get accomplished with that? Do we want it to boil, simmer? What?
Well, we want it to simmer,
okay,
but not very long. And then I usually like to cover it for a moment just to let it steep.
Mm.
You want that truffled flavor to really
seriously
get into the
yummy.
Milk.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so while that's happening, how did we get, it's a brioche or challah?
Or you can even use ciabatta. You know, you want to use some sort of bread that I hate to go to the store just to buy bread for something like this, because you always have bread around the house.
Yes, you
do. But hopefully you've got a good quality bread.
Yes.
And for this one, we used brioche.
We did.
And cut them into just little 1 centimeter squares.
And I noticed that you, and great point, and I'm going to remember it, that you took the crust off because you didn't want it to get overcooked.
Right. The crust has already been cooked and baked and everything, and that's great on its own. But for this particular dish, you're looking for a little bit more finesse, and so you don't want those cooked pieces to end up floating on the top and then getting really super brown.
Okay. All right, so, and then you put them into a mixing bowl and added something just luxurious. Let's tell us what you added.
Okay, at that point, I put it into a mixing bowl, and then I used a little bit of the truffle oil. This is just a black truffle oil. You can buy this.
Smoky, yummy.
Probably at any specialty grocery store.
Yep.
And it's kind of funny to use an ingredient in restaurants these days because it's sort of become this kind of passe thing, you know, where people are like, oh, I would never use truffle oil.
Well, you know? I use truffle oil, and you know, if it was good,
I can't help it.
Don't let it go.
I love it.
It's wonderful.
And we put it.
It's
I put it on
scrambled
my eggs.
Yeah, it's just.
We have a dish called oven eggs that people. It's on the menu, and it's expensive. It's just for that. It's $1.75 just to add that to your eggs.
It's worth it.
But it's worth it.
It's worth it.
People want it.
Okay, so that's just, you know,
that
so fragrant. It was wonderful. And then we sauteed some mushrooms, and let's talk about what herbs, and just a wide variety of mushrooms to sort of enhance that smoky flavor in the bread pudding. And what were...
ideally, if we had the, you know, if we were all independently wealthy, we would be just sauteing truffles probably at this point. But I like to add...
Given that we're not.
Some mushrooms, some cremini mushrooms, some shiitakes, or some oyster mushrooms will be fine. And saute those off just to kind of give, you know, round out the dish a little bit.
And you caramelize them a little. We added sage, fresh sage.
Some sage and some thyme.
And one of the things that you reminded us is don't over chop your herbs, because if you're getting a lot of fragrance from them, that flavor is leaving. I learned so much from you, Ted,
Andrew. I worked for a French guy one time, and he was standing over my shoulder while I was chopping herbs, you know, with my big chef knife, and he was like, it is in the air. It is everywhere. You smell it now? And I was like, yeah, I do smell it. And he goes, well, it's not in the food.
so don't chop them till they're just good heavens.
Just try to cut them one time, kind of line them up and just do like one little chop on them.
And please use fresh.
Yes.
And you reminded us of that, and you chopped up the garlic. And another lesson, a takeaway for me was that the garlic isn't just about the quantity, but if you're smelling a strong garlic smell, you're not going to need as much garlic.
Right.
And just use all of your senses when you're cooking. A great lesson.
If the recipe says 3 cloves of garlic, if there are 3 fresh cloves, that's going to be really strong. If it's 3 cloves that have been sitting on your counter for a week or two, they're going to be, you might need more.
You might need more. Okay, so we added those to the saute pan, and let's put these little, and then you buttered the ramekins, and let's get them in the oven. How do we do that?
I wouldn't. You have a hard time getting them out.
That would be true, and they're too good to leave any behind. Okay, so then those went back into the mixing bowl where the bread had been soaking up that truffle oil, and then, tempering the eggs.
Yeah, you need to temper the eggs at this point. You're basically making a custard. I like a bread pudding that's very light and custard-like.
Mm-hmm.
So at this point, you have 3 eggs
yes.
for this recipe, in a separate mixing bowl. You mix those up,
mm-hmm.
and then you add a little bit of your hot milk, your truffled milk. You add a little bit of that and whisk at the same time, and that keeps them from scrambling.
Yeah, so the point is to slowly raise the temperature of the eggs without scrambling
right.
them, because you're going to return those back to
right. And, and once it's, you just feel the bottom of the mixing bowl.
Great tip to know when it's ready to go is feel the mixing bowl, and it will tell you when it's warm that they're safe to go back into
exactly.
The,
okay. You know, when it gets up to maybe, you know, above bath water, maybe 110, 120, and you're uh-huh. just touching the bottom of the mixing bowl, then you can put the eggs back in
yes.
and whisk into the milk, and you won't scramble your eggs.
Okay. We did not have scrambled eggs. All right. Let's get them into the ramekins. What do we need to do?
Okay, now just mix that custard with all
yes.
of the bread and all the other mixture, and I kind of press down the bread into that custard mixture a little bit, and then spoon those into the ramekins.
Mm-hmm.
Put those ramekins in another pan with water about halfway up the side, and it doesn't have to be hot.
Okay, you know, that is always such a challenge,
is
getting a bain-marie into the oven with hot water, and you're trying not to get the water into the custard or burn yourself.
Right.
And it makes perfect sense to just use tap water
and let it
heat up.
It's a very sound technique, what people teach at that point, where they want the hot water. But if you use less water and don't worry about it getting all the way up to the top of the side
mm-hmm.
of the ramekins, mm-hmm. just kind of get the bottom half of it, bottom third of it, with room temperature water or water coming out of the tap,
mm-hmm.
and then put it in your oven, it'll be fine.
Well, it was more than fine. All right, so it went into a 350 oven. How long do we want it to be there?
Until it's done.
Until it's done. And you're going to give us about, and you said we want a little golden.
Yeah, yeah. It takes, you know, it's very forgiving, so it can take anywhere between 20 minutes and 35 minutes.
Okay.
If you want to cook
just
it for the day
it.
Before,
yes.
You just want it to set.
Okay.
And so then you can refrigerate it and then heat it up the next day or when your dinner party arrives or something.
Perfection. All right. We have two of the dishes knocked down, and now we're coming to that exquisite spinach, and we'll finish off with the cognac peppercorn sauce. I love this spinach. It's one of the prettiest spinaches I've ever seen. It had roots on it when it arrived and you cleaned them up. So that, I mean, it was just like you went out back and harvested.
Right, and that was from Thane Palmberg, who is one of our few farmers that delivers the, he's famous for his spinach. And this mm-hmm. wintered over from last year, so this mm-hmm. was the fall crop in the spring.
So, I mean, it was just bursting with flavor and intensely green. And you sautéed it with, I love this, I'm doing this, I'm going to do this. You took a fork, you stuck it into a clove of garlic, these little things that made you exciting. And you sautéed the spinach with a fork with a clove of garlic on the end of it. And like Andrew said, your mother just does, she hates going to a restaurant and getting a big piece of garlic in her mouth. But we were able to get that garlic flavor without any hit you in the face. Little ingredients.
You get all the flavor. The main thing is cut the garlic clove in half, and then when you put it on the fork, make sure that the prongs aren't sticking out so you don't scratch your pans when you do it.
Okay. Yeah. So you heated up the pan, added a little olive oil, and then you began.
And then you add the spinach, and then just take that garlic fork, and you kind of press the garlic into the bottom of the pan and let
that
hot
yes.
pan pick up some of that. You know, the oils of
so
the garlic
fragrant.
Oil kind of sears
mm-hmm.
it a little bit.
Yeah, yeah. So it almost ends up being kind of a little bit of a roasted garlic flavor that you're putting in there without any big hot chunks of garlic.
Without big hot chunks of garlic. Mm-hmm. And the other thing is that you can clearly tell this did not come out of a can. It was bright green when you were done. It still had some texture to it.
Yeah.
It was wonderful. All right, now for the exciting moment, the peppercorn cognac sauce. So we took the veal sweetbreads out, and you drained off a little bit of the fat, but that pan was loaded with flavor. What did we do to share that flavor with our diners?
Right, there was the fond on there, so
yes.
all that kind of flour
seriously
and
yummy.
Stuff, the pieces
mm.
were still in there.
Mm-hmm.
And took a little bit of cognac mm-hmm. and just deglazed the pan, but we were careful not to do that on the stove. We pulled it off the stove.
Please remember that. The cognac
yeah.
will
it
just...
will flame up.
It will flame up. So we took it off the cooktop, put the cognac in, mm-hmm. let that calm down, and then it went back to the cooktop. Then what did you add?
And it really took seconds for that cognac to disappear.
It did. And
then at that point, we added a little bit more, a little bit of white wine. I think that adds a little bit more depth to the dish.
I think it was the Sauvignon Blanc.
Yes,
it was.
Right.
Okay.
Yep. And then a little bit of chicken stock at that point.
And the chicken stock was warm.
Right.
It was
warm chicken stock. Okay. And reduce that down. And that's kind of a confusing term sometimes to people when you say reduce that down. But it's just a matter of cooking. It's evaporating the liquid, just cooking off. And so the flavors become more intense.
They became more intense. And the very, very end, and you don't need much, you added some cream.
Some cream. And I did forget that we did put peppercorns, whole peppercorns in this. Actually, it was right before the cognac.
Added
some pepper. Yeah.
And then you added just a little bit of salt. Okay, I think we need to plate this signature dish. How are we going to do that?
Andy's the expert.
Andy, please plate this creation.
We're
going to
take the warm bread puddings, just pull them out of the ramekins, put that right in the center of the plate.
Okay.
Then you take your spinach, put it around there, put the veal sweetbreads down right over the spinach, and then pour that cognac cream right around it.
And that just sort of brought it all together, the cognac cream sauce.
And it goes well with everything on the dish, the spinach, the bread pudding, everything.
Oh, I thought it was, it's really heaven. I should mention that our celebrity tasters, William Rose, who is fast becoming a nationally recognized artist.
Yeah, he's great.
From Kansas City, just did all the original artwork for a film that was put together by Clint Eastwood called Carmel by the Sea, which is soon to be released. He is amazing. But we also paired this dish with a wine. Why don't you tell us what we chose and why we chose it?
We chose the Siduri Pinot Noir from Sonoma Coast.
And why did we do that?
For me, sweetbreads, truffles equal Pinot Noir.
Okay.
And Siduri is a wine that we poured by the glass at both restaurants, both Midtown and Mission Farms. And
it's lovely.
Andy's even been out to the winemaker's home, Adam Lee. He's fantastic. One of the best Pinot Noir makers in California.
And you mentioned that because the grapes are grown on the coast,
it's a little cooler.
Yes.
And so you get great acidity, excellent balance between fruit and alcohol and acidity. And it's a quintessential food wine.
It was a quintessential food wine, and it worked with everything. I want to thank you both for inviting us back into the kitchen and for serving us so well in Kansas City. Please visit us on the web so you can see this wonderful production at inthekitchenwithbonnie.com. You could download the recipes and also click on Contact Us and email us your thoughts and suggestions. Stay tuned, please, for In the Cellar by Marquis Selections. This week, we're going to visit the vineyards of Argentina. We're going to learn about their history and culture of winemaking, their devotion to organic, and their unique flavors. It's been wonderful being in the kitchen with Andy and Ted at Room 39.